Sí. Hola. Buenos días. Vamos a comenzar esta rueda de prensa porque...
Hello, thank you for coming. We want to start punctually. The first thing I want to do is give the floor to our interpreters who have a brief message for you. Yes. We've reached day 17 of our protest action. The administration has not made any attempt to contact us or to resolve the conflict. As a result, we will grant no overruns and the interpreting service will stop at 12:30 on the dot. Thank you very much for your attention.
Pues muchas gracias.
Thank you very much. The speaker thanks the interpreters for their work then. So let's start this press conference. We have the honour of giving a brief presentation of the report drawn up by three experts for the Organization of American States on the arguments and reasons that prove at least seven crimes against humanity that the government of Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela can be accused of. We have Mr. Erwin Kotler here, who was one of the three people who has written this report. And it's not just important to know the terms and the legal reasons and arguments for these hundreds of witness accounts that make this such a very rigorous and solid report, but I also think it's essential to know Mr. Kotler's point on what these crimes against humanity mean. Certainly, Nicolas Maduro and the main leaders of the Venezuelan dictatorship have been accused of these crimes. Now, I have also my colleague, Sescun Bilbao, who has also been working for a long time on this systemic crisis in Venezuela and also on the actions that have led to this situation. Mr. Kotler was also one of the rapporteurs of this report, but has also been Minister of Justice in the Canadian government under Paul Martin, and is also a legal advisor of Nobel Peace laureates. And I think that one of the most important reasons to have him here is that he'll be able to give specific details on this report. And I just want to add one more thing previously. It's vital that we keep the criminal channel open to ensure accountability of the Venezuelan government, because all of this this humanitarian channel or humanitarian aid must be accompanied by criminal proceedings, and the only way to do that is through the International Criminal Court. And I therefore call upon the member states of the European Union, particularly my country Spain, to present this report to the public prosecutor as signatories of this report to be put to the ICC, because that's the only way that an international inquiry will be launched and that these crimes against humanity could be prosecuted. It's vital that the member states of the European Union take this step because, as Mr. Kotler will say, fortunately there have been certain states that have already expressed a stance on this. I'll give the floor firstly to my colleague, Ms. Bilbao Barandica, and then we'll hear from Mr. Kotler. Thank you and good morning. Thank you to Beatriz Becerra for the invitation to take part in this press conference with Mr. Kotler. I think that there's now no doubt that Nicolas Maduro's government is a dictatorship. It does not comply with the minimum requirements of a political system to be deemed a democratic political system. In my opinion, the main problems are that there's no separation of powers, there's no electoral process in which various options can be presented on an equal footing to fair elections. There's a systematic public persecution of certain political groupings. There's an unbearable level of violence. Priority public services, particularly health, cannot offer minimum services to citizens. There's a problem of essential needs, supplies, which fuels a black market. Public services have become the main instrument of political control. A card is needed to access services. There was an initial inquiry and investigation onto living conditions in Venezuela, and the conclusions are terrible. 87% of families are officially poor. 71.2% live in extreme poverty. 70% of households do not have enough money to buy healthy food. 76% of the school population aged between 3 and 17 can't go to school because they don't have enough food. Large population don't go to school, and a million are directly out of the school system. More than 4 million Venezuelans have left the country since Maduro came to power. Last year, more than 10,000 applied for asylum in Spain alone, doubling asylum seeker requests from Syria. All of this data clearly shows what those people are living in, with very little outlook for the future. It is therefore urgent that this dictatorship and repression be replaced by democracy. And diplomatic and economic means, including sanctions, must be used to do so, including a charge of crimes against humanity as proposed. So I would reiterate what I said on the 6th of February in the plenary session. Now, our prime obligation is to human people who are suffering, and that's what we must give them, humanitarian aid through Caracas to solve hunger, malnutrition, lack of medicines, lack of essential needs, which won't arrive by expelling ambassadors or by using scapegoats. As Bolivarian said, we must continue to work on all means to solve these issues. And I therefore fully endorse this report and support this very fascinating analysis that has been made by Mr. Kotler, among others. Thank you very much. Thank you. And I just, before giving the floor to Mr. Kotler, say that on Monday I will be travelling with the European Parliamentary Mission to observe the humanitarian situation on the border of Venezuela with Colombia. There'll be other colleagues who go to the border with Brazil. But I'd like to stress that, again, this humanitarian crisis, unlike other situations, is not due to avoidable reasons. What we're seeing, and what Mr. Kotler will tell you about, we're seeing crimes against humanity that really show the seriousness of this accusation, and the fact that hunger, malnutrition, poverty and shortage have been systematically used to sustain and strengthen political power. This is a systematic breach of power to keep power, to preserve impunity, and to devastate the country. So that is the will of this Parliament, not just to observe what is happening and why there is such a huge migration flow, but also to look at not just the millions of people who've left, the half a million who are in Colombia, and how we can alleviate their plight, but also to look at the reasons that have led to this situation, and to call for a legal international response. So without further ado, I'd like to give the floor to Mr. Kotler for his presentation of the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. for your earlier kind introduction and for your remarks regarding the need to combat the culture of impunity in Venezuela, which underpins the culture of criminality. And Ms. Barandica, for your remarks also by our chair about the human suffering in Venezuela, which has produced the dramatic migration flows. And I will try to share with you the situation in Venezuela, which has resulted in these dramatic and exponentially increases in migration. 8 months ago, I was appointed by the Organization of American States to what is characterized as an independent panel of international experts to look into whether crimes against humanity are being committed in Venezuela, and if so, to refer the matter to the International Criminal Court for prospective investigation and prosecution. Our three-person panel, I was accompanied by Justice Santiago Cantón of Argentina and Judge Manuel Ventura of Costa Rica. We examined documentary evidence, heard witness testimony. We had five public hearings, received testimony from intergovernmental organizations, governments, NGOs, examined legal authorities, both regionally within the Latin American region and internationally, and resulted in a 400-page report which contains both the massive evidence that we received and analyzed and the legal analysis which we undertook. On May 29th, we released our 800-page report, 400 pages of evidence and legal authority and 400 pages of appendices in Washington before an assembly of the Organization of American States, and we concluded after our comprehensive analysis that there are reasonable basis to believe, which is a standard of proof required by the Rome Statute, that the following seven crimes against humanity have been committed since February 12, 2014, and warrant investigation by the Office of the Prosecutor of the International Criminal Court. I will briefly summarize each of the crimes against humanity, each of which involves widespread and systematic targeting of the civilian population as an instrument of state policy. The first is the crime against humanity of murder, where we document multiple murders that have been committed as part of, as I said, a widespread and systematic attack against the civilian population, particularly targeting persons opposing the regime or believed to be opposing the regime. In addition, our evidence disclosed that there have been at least 6,385 cases of extrajudicial executions by state forces. The second crime against humanity is that of imprisonment or other severe deprivation of political liberty. We found that there have been at least 12,000 cases of arbitrary detention and imprisonment, violation of all fundamental rules of international law, and again, the widespread and systematic targeting of opponents of the regime. The evidence also disclosed the criminal complicity of judges and prosecutors in ordering the arrests and imprisonment. Third crime against humanity was that of torture or cruel or inhumane degrading treatment or punishment. And here we received documentary evidence of close to 300 cases of torture inflicting severe physical and mental suffering, again as part of a widespread and systematic state policy. The fourth crime against humanity was that of rape and other forms of sexual violence. And here again we found patterns of sexual violence against women and some against men, including in particular sexual violence and rape against persons under state custody. The fifth crime against humanity was that of persecution against an identifiable group on political grounds. And here our report determined that the scale of political persecution has escalated dramatically over the years. where the crime of persecution on political grounds is present in each of the crimes against humanity documented in our report. In addition, we found other patterns of persecutory conduct, including massive assaults on the rule of law, assaults on members of the Legislative Assembly and the legislature itself, arbitrary arrests and dismissals of mayors from office, criminalization of fundamental freedoms of speech, assembly, and association, illegal raids and violent repression targeting political opponents, forced exile, forced political asylum. The whole is set forth more fully in the report and accounting for the migratory flows and dramatic increase in that. The sixth crime against humanity is that of enforced disappearances of persons, particularly here of political opponents or persons believed to be political opponents. And finally, and perhaps most important, particularly given the human suffering that has been commented on by my colleagues, the government itself is responsible for the worst ever humanitarian crisis in the region, including a total breakdown in the health system involving shortages of medicines, vaccines, medical supplies, medical personnel, and a dramatic increase of hundreds of thousands of preventable diseases and deaths, including malaria, diphtheria, measles, cancer, and tuberculosis, and dramatic increases in child mortality and maternal mortality of 30% and 60% respectively. In short, and as set forth more fully in this report and of particular importance, the government, the Maduro government, is responsible for this crime of humanity of inhumane acts involving the weaponization of health and food on political grounds, with untold and horrific incidences of human suffering, death, and devastation. All this compounded and made worse by the government's denial that there is a humanitarian crisis and the refusal of any humanitarian assistance with regard to their own state-orchestrated humanitarian crisis. And so our report concluded calling upon the Secretary General of the OAS to refer the evidence to the Special Prosecutor of the International Criminal Court for investigation, and, as our Chair has mentioned, calling on states' parties to the Rome Statute to refer it as well to the Special Prosecutor for investigation and prospective prosecution. The whole list can be found more fully in our report here, which can be found online on the website of the Organization of American States itself. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Muchísimas gracias, señor Kotler.
Thank you, Mr. Kotler. I think that this is really unacceptable. But basically, this brief overview really shows that firm action is required and that a joint European Union action should be launched as a way of moving on to concrete response. Humanitarian action through the approved funds is about to start, and we're also in the process of extending the list of sanctions against the regime this week. This should be finalized. And lastly, international law. There's a huge opportunity here to work jointly with various countries from the region who have said that they are willing to refer this report to the International Criminal Court. That should be confirmed soon, both North America and South America. And Europe would be an essential ally. Firstly, I'd like to know if there are any questions from the floor. And if not, we shall move straight to the conclusions if there are no questions. Would you like to make any brief comments? Well, I think the data is there in the report. The report is exhaustive, and an organization like the OAS, which has international prestige, and that nobody will doubt the work carried out by these professionals. Now, all we can do is hope that we get the right reactions to see how we can build a better future for Venezuela. Mr. Kotler, would you like to draw any additional conclusions or make recommendations or specific requests to European institutions and actors and those who we represent and act for?
Yes, as I mentioned, our report effectively documents and concludes that there is no rule of law in Venezuela, no independent judiciary, no independent legislature, no justice, and no rights or remedies for the victims. And when we talk about the immense human suffering, and I've given you and we have shared data about it, let us always understand that there are human beings behind the statistics. There are human beings that are suffering. And here's where there's an opportunity for the European Union and parliamentarians, together with the region in Latin America and North America, to do as our chair has said, and that is to hold the Maduro government accountable, to put an end to the culture of impunity. The foundational values of the European Union and the European Parliament are the promotion and protection of human rights and human dignity, of the compliance with international human rights law, and combating the culture of impunity. We can join together individually and collectively and hold the Maduro government accountable and join together in referring the matter to the International Criminal Court for investigation and prospective prosecution.
Muchas gracias, señor Kotler.
Thank you, Mr. Kotler. I'd like to offer a word of welcome to Mr. Nart from the Liberal Group. Well, we're finishing up, Javier, but I can give you a couple of minutes. We need to finish right on time because of the restrictions in place, but I'll give you 2 minutes. The International Court, I think, is absolutely needed, is required, given the amount of suffering and the number of infringements of basic standards that have taken place and are reflected in the OAS report. Now, there's one part of this that's quite important. What do the different states need to do, especially the member states of the European Union? The Maduro regime is not going to leave Venezuela, but what we can hope for is that our countries send assistance and act against the oligarchs who are acting on the basis of their own historical interest. This is very important for Spain, as a historically speaking, and of course the Spanish Supreme Court has intervened, blocking the assets of the main corrupt oil industry people in Venezuela. They are in jail waiting in extradition to the United States. A fundamental point is that all of the economic traffic is taking place in dollars through the banking system, mostly in dollars anyway, and the consequence has to do with the jurisdiction, in this case the North American jurisdiction, which can come into play and show the effects of a crime which transits their territory in the form of financial flows. Law is extremely important, and the way it's applied is very important, but we must make use of the weapons available to us when we see that we have economic crimes in financial flows of dollars. So that's where we need to strike. Thank you.
Muchas gracias, Javier.
Thanks, Javier. Well, to conclude this press conference, I'd like to summarize with 3 points. A dictatorial regime is seeking impunity in Maduro's government, and we're seeing the systematic extermination of the civilian population through hunger and the most absolutely precarious conditions requiring humanitarian aid. In addition, corruption reigns, and there is no institutional rigor. So the international community must take a hard and fast stand, especially the European Union's institutions, with specific sanctions to apply immediately, including freezing of assets, as was mentioned, because that is what allows the regime to continue. This is, and the booty that they have outside of Venezuela should not be available for their use. So we should institute sanctions, apply them, and we should constantly recognize the legitimate institutions of Venezuela, such as the National Assembly. So that's all I have to say. Thank you all very much for joining us. Thank you to colleagues and Mr. Cutler for having joined us, and for the extraordinary work you've been doing. We shall continue to work together and do our best to make sure our work is effective. Thank you.